Welcome to Shi'ar Jashub, a Bible study program coming from Shi'ar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, and featuring the teaching ministry of Pastor Greg Scalzo. Hi, I'm Patty Scalzo, and today we will be continuing a sermon in my husband's series on the Book of Romans. In this sermon, Pastor has examined John chapter 3 as a foundation for the discussion he will have on faith in Romans chapter 1. We read the words of the Baptist in verse 36 last time. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And when we left off, Pastor Greg was discussing verse 33, where John says, "He who has received his, Jesus' testimony, has certified that God is true." Pastor explained that the Greek word translated certified means to stamp with a signet ring or private mark for security or preservation, as you would seal a letter by pressing your stamp into the wax. There is the aspect as well of permanency and authentication, where you certify, you seal, you authenticate that this thing is true. You are saying, "I certify, I put my stamp, I put my seal that this is true." Let's rejoin Pastor Greg, and we'll go back a minute for context.
You receive the witness, and then when you receive the witness, when you do that, you're attesting. That's what it means figuratively, to attest, as you would seal or stamp to show your mark of, this is my security, I agree with this. Then figuratively, the word becomes to mean to attest, to authenticate. You attest, you certify, you seal, you authenticate. You declare on earth and you declare in the heavens that God is true, that Jesus speaks the words of God. And that's the reason you now belong to him. We could have sinned greatly, but we received Jesus in such a way, our belief is so strong in him, we set our seal. If you want a good image of faith, that's what it is. You set your seal. I believe this. I know it. I count my whole life on it. I certify it on earth and in heaven. I agree. And in the Greek and the Hebrew, it's amen. So be it. It is so. Amen. That's true faith in Christ Jesus. And it shows, it hollers out in the heavenlies, I believe God is true. God has promised it. Only God can do it. God has accomplished it. He has sent the Messiah from above. We have salvation. He is the only salvation. I put my faith in him. I certified, I authenticated. And that's why God loves us. Not because of what we've done, but because what we have recognized and received, pistuo, believed in, had faith in. And that's the only foundation, the only basis on which we're saved, we receive the Savior. Matthew Henry has a good section on John chapter 3 and verse 33. He says, God's promises are all yea and amen. By faith, we put our amen, our stamp to them. By believing in Christ, we set to our seal that God is true to all the promises which he has made concerning Christ. Believing and trusting, relying on Jesus, receiving, not just believing as knowing, well, he's the Christ, receiving that salvation, receiving Jesus Christ. We receive him, we receive the testimony, we set our seal on God's truth. Amen. I'd like you to see the fullness of faith. because Paul is going to speak about faith in the book of Romans, and we need to understand the fullness of it. And the opposite of that, the opposite of receiving the testimony, of accepting God's truth in Jesus Christ, of receiving Jesus, of relying upon Jesus, of giving that spiritual amen to the work of Jesus Christ is willful and perverse disbelief, disobedience to God's truth in Christ, refusing to believe the truth, no matter what the testimony given to you, even if God himself, through the Holy Spirit, testifies. That's the opposite. And that willful disobedience shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides, dwells on that person. Okay. Another important scripture for this part of our study is in Acts chapter 11. Let me summarize chapter 10. Peter is told by the Holy Spirit to go with the men that come to him to Cornelius's house, Cornelius the Roman centurion. And he goes and he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. And before he finishes, the Gentiles gathered there are so moved, they accept Jesus Christ in such a way that the Holy Spirit falls upon all of them who heard. And they speak in tongues and they magnify God. So Peter, seeing that, says, let them be baptized in water in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then in chapter 11, when Peter gets back to Jerusalem, some of the other Jewish believers argue with him. They give him heck about it. You know, this contact with uncircumcised Gentiles, you went with them, you went into their house, and then you baptized them. And Peter goes on in the book of Acts to give them a full account of why he did this very calmly. And the Spirit of God is upon him, and they're moved by it. And you read in Acts, let's look at Acts chapter 11 at verse 15. He says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, meaning the people in Cornelius' house, as upon us at the beginning, just as us, the same way, the same gift. Then I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John, meaning John the Baptist, indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we believed. We believed on him. We trusted in him. We accepted him. And then God does what? He pours out the Holy Spirit on us, we Jewish believers. And now these Gentiles, they believe. How do they believe? They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God pours out his Spirit on them. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? God is the one who decides, right? When they heard these things, what are they going to say to him? How are they going to argue this? If God pours out the Holy Spirit, he selected them. He sees their acceptance of Jesus Christ the same way as he sees the acceptance by the Jewish believers of Jesus Christ. And he's confirmed it by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, so they can't answer Peter any further. And when they heard these things, as a matter of fact, they're moved by them. They became silent and they glorified God. They glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. He's granted to the Gentiles, to the ethnos, repentance to life. We just discussed eternal life, right? Part of that believing in Jesus Christ, that believing in his testimony, that relying upon him, that receiving him, if you accept his testimony as Savior for our sins, then we have to also accept that we're sinners and repent or turn from sin. So part of that belief onto life is repentance, right? Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life as they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So now you have another aspect to that faith. Trusting in Jesus, believing in the testimony, receiving him, relying upon him, setting your seal upon him because you can't set it upon yourself. Part of that truth of God is that we cannot. We are not. We need to repent from what we are and turn to him and rely and trust, commit ourselves totally to what he and only he can do. God has also granted the ethnos, the Gentiles, repentance to life. And the last time in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1, when we left off, we discussed in verse 13 Paul's ministry to the ethnos, to the Gentiles. Remember, he says he has a debt, his obligation to them to preach the gospel, right? And then he defines it even finer. He makes even a finer distinction about these ethnos. He says both Greeks, Hellene, we studied that last time, and barbarians, barbaros, both the cultured Greek and the barbarians, the uncultured. He says in verse 14, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. And then he says, so as much as is in me, I am ready, I am eager, I am willing to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So to all, the gospel to the Jews, the gospel to the Gentiles, cultured Gentiles, uncultured Gentiles, wise barbarians, all. He's in debt. He has an obligation to preach the gospel. And then he says in verse 16, we'll pick up in the book of Romans, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I know I have this obligation, and I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm eager to preach, even to you who are in Rome. And he knows all the dangers of going to Rome. But I'm not ashamed, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Too often, Christians act ashamed, embarrassed to speak about the Lord, to speak about the good news. And too often in church history, churches come to feel that they need something more.
On our church website at shiarjashub.org, you will find a library of Bible study radio programs, information about our church, and links to the audio podcasts on Apple and Amazon Music. We live stream the sermon portion of our Sunday morning service at 10:30 on both YouTube and X.com. The videos then remain up on YouTube and X, as well as posted on Rumble.com and the church website for 24/7 access. You can find all this information on shiarjashub.org, and you can check Isaiah 7, verse 3 for the spelling.